Today we're building a warehouse-grade snare snap for jungle and old-school DNB, and we're doing it the right way, in session view first, then committing the best taken to arrangement view. This is an advanced workflow lesson, so the mindset matters. We are not just picking a snare sample and hoping it works. We're designing a hit that can survive a loud system, cut through a re-spass line, and still feel raw, human, and old-school. In this style, the snare is more than a transient. It's a statement. It's the moment the groove says, pay attention. The big idea is simple. Jam, judge, commit, arrange. Start in session view with a fresh drum rack on a new MIDI track. Keep it lean. You want one pad for the core snare, one pad for a transient layer from a break, and one optional pad for a tiny vocal texture. Think chopped breath, a consonant, a little ha, ah, or yeah fragment. Nothing lyrical. Just attitude. In jungle and dark DNB, vocals often work best as texture, punctuation, or atmosphere. On your main snare pad, load a punchy one-shot snare. This is your anchor. Set up a simple MIDI clip so the snare lands on beats 2 and 4. Then add a few ghost notes around it at lower velocity. That little bit of movement is a huge part of old-school swagger. The groove should breathe, not just tick. Now shape the core snare. A good starting chain is drum bus first, then saturator, then EQ8. Be gentle at first. On drum bus, keep drive modest, maybe somewhere around 5-12%. Crunch only a little if the sample needs bite. Boom should usually stay low for clarity. If the top gets brittle, damp it a bit. After that, use saturator to add density. A small drive boost, with soft clip on, can make the snare feel finished without making it obviously distorted. Then move to EQ8 and treat the snare like a frequency slot, not just a sample. If there's extra low junk, high pass it somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz. If it's muddy, cut a bit around 220 to 400 Hz. If the attack is dull, a small boost around 2.5 to 5 kHz can help. If it starts sounding fizzy or harsh, tame the top end a touch around 7 to 10 kHz. Important teacher note here, shorten the tail before you start adding more brightness. A snare that rings too long often feels soft, even if it's loud. Tightening the release and cleaning the body usually makes the transient feel harder than EQ alone. Next, build the break-derived layer. This is where the jungle DNA really comes in. Grab a tiny slice from a classic break, something like an amen or think-type fragment, and isolate the transient part of the snare or rim. You're not replacing the core hit. You're giving it movement, grit, and history. Put that break slice on its own pad. Use simpler in one-shot mode or load it directly as a sample. Trim the start so the transient hits immediately. Keep the decay short, maybe around 80 to 180 milliseconds. If it feels too thick, high pass it lightly with auto filter. If it feels messy, tighten the sample start and end. And if needed, use the amp envelope to trim the tail. You want the sharp front edge, not the room sound of the break. This layer is what turns a plain snare into an old-school one. The core says snare, the break says movement, and the combination gives the hit that classic broken rhythm energy. Now let's add the vocal texture layer, but keep it subtle. Load a tiny vocal chop onto the third pad, and process it so it behaves like percussion. High pass it somewhere around 180 to 350 Hz. Remove boxiness in the 300 to 600 Hz zone if it's clouding the snare. A touch of saturator or redux can help it grit up and disappear into the hit. You can add a very short room reverb if you want a little space, but keep the wet level low. If the vocal starts sounding like a lyric, it's too long. Use this layer sparingly, maybe only on the first snare of an 8-bar phrase, or on the snare right before a bass switch-up. That gives you a human exclamation mark without cluttering the groove. A consonant-like vocal hit can actually reinforce the snare attack, because the sharp edges of speech and percussion live in a similar emotional zone. At this point, build a few different clips in session view. Make one clip with straight 2 and 4 snare hits. Make another with the same pattern plus a ghost note before beat 4. Make a third with a tiny fill leading into bar 4 or bar 8. And make a stripped back clip with just the core snare and vocal accent. You're not just programming a loop here. You're creating options for performance. If the groove needs more human drag, use the groove pull lightly. Keep it subtle. In this style, a little swing goes a long way. You usually want a modest amount of swing, not a lazy shuffle. The main snare should stay authoritative. The ghost notes can move a little more. Now route all the snare layers to a snare bus or the main drum bus. This is where the stack becomes one instrument. Start with glue compressor if needed, but don't crush it. A ratio around 2 to 1 or 4 to 1, a medium attack, and just a couple dB of gain reduction is often enough. You want coherence. not flattening. If the hit loses its punch, slow the attack or back off the compression. After that, you can use drum buffs on the group for a bit more glue and thickness. Then, if you need extra perceived loudness, add saturator on the buffs rather than just turning the clip up. Saturation can help the snare cut without making it feel overpeaked. Keep checking the center focus with utility. In these darker styles, the snare should feel mostly centered and strong in mono, especially in the low mids and attack region. And this is a big pro tip. Check the snare at low volume. If it still reads clearly when quiet, the attack and mid-range are doing the heavy lifting. If it disappears, the snare is probably too dependent on brightness or sheer loudness. Now use session view like a performance space. Launch the different clips and listen to how the snare changes the energy of the loop. Maybe the break layer is perfect in the build, but the vocal texture only works on phrase starts. Maybe the stripped version feels better in the drop. The whole point is to audition the character in real time, not just stare at waveforms. When you've got a version that feels right, record your session view performance into arrangement view. That's where the spontaneous synergy becomes structure. This is one of the biggest strengths of the workflow. You get the hands-on feel of a live jam, but you also end up with an editable arrangement. A strong arrangement for the style might look like this: a filtered intro with hints of the drum texture, then a pre-drop with snare tension, then a full drop, where the snare opens up and the vocal layer appears only on key phrase markers. You can make the snare act like a signpost. It tells the listener and the DJ where the track is headed. Once you're in arrangement view, start automating only small, meaningful changes. For example, open the auto filter on the vocal layer during the buildup. Send a tiny amount of the snare to reverb only on a transition hit. Raise saturator drive a little in the final two bars before the drop. Pull the vocal layer down when the arrangement gets busy, then let it bloom again at the next phrase start. The best automation here is often subtle contrast, not huge effects. Dry to dry plus room. Tight to slightly wider. Controlled to slightly more aggressive. That's enough to make the snare feel alive without turning it into a gimmick. If the layered hits start sounding right, resample it early. Print the stack to auto, then keep working on the rendered hit. That helps you commit to the character instead of endlessly tweaking three separate layers forever. In this style, committing is often what makes it sound finished. Let's talk about common mistakes, because they matter a lot here. Don't pile on too many snare layers. Usually one core hit, one transient layer, and one texture layer is enough. Don't let the low mids build up. Don't make the vocal layer too obvious. Don't overcompress the life out of the hit. And don't drown the snare in reverb. Warehouse size should come from arrangement contrast and confident tone, not wash on every hit. A nice advanced variation is the two-state snare chain. Make one version for the build and another for the drop. The build version can have a little more tail or texture. The drop version should be a bit tighter, a bit more direct, and slightly more aggressive in the transient. Switching between them can make the arrangement feel much more intentional. Another strong move is ghost hit contrast. Keep the ghost snares darker and softer than the main hit. That way the main snare feels bigger without actually getting louder. It's a classic trick for making a loop breathe. You can also experiment with alternate attack sources. Swap the transient layer between a break slice, a rim, a clap fragment, or a vocal consonant. Same rhythm, different front edge. That's a very efficient way to keep repeated sections from feeling static. Before we wrap, here's your practice challenge. Build three versions of the same 8-bar Jungle DNB loop. First, a clean core snare only. Second, core snare plus break transient. Third, core snare plus break transient plus tiny vocal accent on bar 1 and bar 5. Route them to the same bus, compare them in session view, then record your best pass into arrangement view. Automate just one thing, like bus drive, vocal volume, or a small reverb throw. Then listen back on headphones, monitors, and at low volume. The goal is not the most ingredients. The goal is the most impact. So remember the core principle. Build the snare in session view, perform the variations, then commit the strongest moment into arrangement view. For old school jungle and warehouse DNB, the snare should be clean, hard, rhythmic, and just human enough to feel alive. If it hits with authority, sits in the mix, and still feels raw, you've got the right kind of snap.